With the intention with his message was going to be the last two parts of the message having to do with giving God six, which the last two things were obeying God. We said obeying God and what's the...
Read the word.
Praying simply,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry,
no.
The last two.
But,
okay.
And we want to talk about really why it, we started to pray about it. Like, why is it important that we give God six? I mean, it's easy to get up here and say, hey, y'all, you should just give God six and go for it and do it. But if we don't sometimes just consider the context of why we need to do these things, we don't do them. It just passes over our head. So we want to get across today something that the Lord laid on our heart as we began to prepare for the last two. And that has to do with having a bondservant heart in all that it is that we're doing. And, you know, you came to church. I said this a couple weeks ago. I'm sure you came to church today because ultimately you're looking for life change, some kind of life transformation to go on in your heart, right? In your life. I mean, you have a million other things you could have done this morning besides for come to church. And so when you're coming to church, I think all of us in our own heart are looking for God to do a work in our life.
Amen.
Or some kind of transformation to happen in our life.
Amen.
And giving God six, I'm convinced of it, these six things, because we've looked at this over the years. What do people do in their lives who tend to get rooted in the kingdom and they go for it? Doesn't mean their life doesn't have trouble. It just means right. that they stick with it, they persevere, they keep bearing fruit over time. And there were these six things that I felt like the Lord showed me in our own lives and other people's lives that they do. And so I would say that if you commit to these six things, you will find life transformation
Amen.
Happen. You will find it. How many of you have made a decision, I mean, you've heard of these six already, to do these things in your life? You look at them and you go, I've been doing these six things. Would you
yeah.
say your life
That's
has...
That's a lot of people. That's awesome.
Slowly been transforming.
Yes.
Doesn't happen overnight. And that's why we say 6 months, because faithfulness is a word very relevant mm-hmm. to our kingdom. You have to stay faithful and persevere over time to see anything happen and grow in our life, because these things are a seed principle in our life. But
that's really important to hear. They're a seed principle.
And some of you, I think, it's like us, you started to do these things and you just keep doing it. 6 months go by and then six more months go by and
six
more
years.
Months and 6 years and
16
pretty
years.
Soon, hopefully 60 years.
Years.
Yeah,
yeah, amen. It keeps.
But some of you still are hesitant. You haven't taken up the challenge. You're still wondering, I don't know, why, you know, why not take up the challenge? Because I honestly believe that your life transformation just hangs in the balance.
Correct.
And if you're a parent, that same life transformation that you could pass on to your child hangs in the balance
Amen.
Too. Because what's going on in the home with the parent is getting put into the child. And so it's important that we understand why some of these things are necessary in our life. And so I believe you're here because you want change, you're seeking change, you want knowledge of God. And we teach from the Bible every Sunday.
Yes. Boom.
And the Bible is a book about life transformation. This is what this book is about. I mean, going from spiritual death to spiritual life
yeah.
is
pretty
a miraculous transformation. You don't see
Come
it on.
On
the outside.
Yeah.
But that did happen on the inside. When you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there is new life. There is a spiritual reality to what happened on the inside. You're made spiritually new on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
But that inwardly new life that happens to us needs to make its way to be seen outwardly in our lives, in our actions, in our choices, in our behavior,
yep.
in our priorities of what we do. And if you've truly been changed on the inside, if spiritual life from Christ has happened to you on the inside, the Bible says there will be fruit that's evident in our lives.
Thank you for that, amen. I mean, everybody should be
saying
amen.
I mean, you can say all day long, I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Christ, but Jesus himself
yep.
tells us in his word, he basically says, show me then. Show me by what you do that you're a follower of me. And this is our first scripture on the outline here, John 14:15. And this is Jesus speaking in the Gospel of John. He says, if you really love me, you will keep or obey my commands. So he's the one saying there should be something happening. I mean, we joked around this old song last 2 weeks ago. There's something on the inside working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Because there has to be outward fruit evident in our lives.
Correct.
And there'll be behaviors that we do and actions and priorities that'll reflect this new nature and desire to want to know God and follow after him. And so the Bible contains words of wisdom. It contains supernatural power to change your life. But just reading the book and just coming to church and sitting and listening won't do it. That won't do it. That will not bring life transformation. You have to exercise faith. You have to exercise effort to apply the wisdom in the book. So we have to open up the book and begin to apply what it is that you're hearing. And so this is on our outline too. Your life can be transformed by the wisdom and the supernatural power in God's word. It can be. It will be.
Yes.
But it hinges on one little word. Obedience. Actually, two little words. You might write in there, my obedience. my obedience.
Amen.
That's what
Amen.
It all hinges on.
Amen.
And obedience is a
word
that's kind of lost its value.
You know what? Wait a second. Let's let everybody say, my obedience.
Yeah. My obedience.
Yeah, let's say it again. My obedience. That's the truth. Because obedience is definitely a word that has lost its value, meaning in this culture today. Isn't that true? You mostly hear this. Who are you to tell me to obey? Show me, why should I obey anyone for this matter? Why should I obey the law? Why should I obey the moral code? Why should I obey anything that I don't agree with? Don't you hear that? Don't you see that? Yeah. You see this. This is the culture
that's
we live in right now.
The essence of it,
It is. It's the culture we live in. And it's blatant lawlessness. It goes against the moral code of God's word. It really does. You see it in the government. Oh, my gosh. Starting to shake my head about the things that are going on. You see it in the government. You see it in the newspaper, the news and entertainment media. It's insane what they're saying, and nobody is shouting, saying, hey, what are you talking about? You see it in schools. You see it in families.
Yeah.
And the truth is, the motivation of it all is really from Satan and the kingdom of darkness. It's true. The basic principle of the satanic Bible is do what thou wilt. Do what you want. Do it. Don't even listen. Do it. You go do it.
What you desire,
whatever you desire, go do it.
Yeah.
You know, when you stop to think about that, really think about that. Who are you obeying when you do something like that? You're actually obeying Satan. That is Satan's mindset. Do what you want. Do what you desire. That's what he says. Looks like Bob Dylan was right. You know that album, Slow Train Coming?
Now you know why.
He called me on the phone while we were making this message, and I sang this to him.
Like, we were just listening to Bob Dylan. He's like, what?
Well, this is what Bob Dylan says. He says, you're going to serve somebody. It may be the devil, it may be the Lord, but you're going to serve somebody.
Yeah.
You know where you find that? You know where you found that? Out of the Bible.
Yeah.
Look at your outline, Romans chapter 6. Look at this. Look what it says here. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Don't you realize that grace frees you to choose your own master? Wait a second. Let's think about this. This is saying that God's grace has freed me from my original sin. We come into this world with a fallen nature. Every single person. A fallen nature. A nature that is like Satan. And that was because of Adam and Eve. And we can't get that out of us. Good works doesn't do it. Being nice doesn't do it. We have that in us. So this God's grace, when we accept Jesus Christ, frees us from that original sin, that demonic activity. That's slavery. It's true. It's slavery. But we're free not to do our own thing, amen? I'm free in Christ. But I still have to choose my master.
Yeah.
Look what this says. Don't you realize that grace frees you to choose your own master? But choose carefully. For you surrendered yourself to become a servant bound to one you choose to obey. If you choose to love sin, it will become your master. And it will own you and reward you with death. But if you choose to love and obey God, he'll lead you into perfect righteousness. What's Paul saying here? What's the Holy Spirit saying here? He's saying what Bob Dylan said, really, you're going to have to serve somebody.
Yeah.
No one's a free agent. Hello. And there's no neutral ground. No neutral ground. You're either going to serve and be a servant of sin or a servant of righteousness. But you get to choose. And don't you know that daily, you choose.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. Daily we choose. We're either a servant of sin or a servant of righteousness. And on your outline here it says, choosing to be a servant of Christ means I am going against the current of a selfish world.
Yeah.
And the way it thinks and the path it offers. See, when you give your life to Christ, you're going to walk a narrow path. Can I hear an amen?
Yeah.
This whole society is going to think you're crazy.
Yes.
And going against the current is hard, isn't it? I mean, if you're swimming in the ocean or somewhere where there's a current and a river, you're going against it. You got to put effort against that. And it's a narrow path is kind of tight. You know, it's not broad, like Scripture says. It's a narrow path that we're on. And, you know, we talk about this idea of a servant to sin or a servant or a slave to sin, a slave to righteousness. Many times in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul used the word bondservant in reference to himself and his role in the kingdom. He would say, I'm a bondservant. And a bondservant was a term used in that day for a slave. Back in Jesus' day and in the first century church, slavery was a familiar part of the culture. And apparently, just looking up some of this stuff, one-third of the Roman population were slaves.
A third.
That's a lot of people. And because of that, Jesus used, sometimes refer to slaves and slave owners in his parables.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go back 2,000 years before that even, under Mosaic law, owning a slave was a part of the culture, you know, with the Israelites. But Mosaic law allowed a slave to become a bondservant voluntarily after serving their master. The master might say, okay, you're free now to do what you want to do. And, you know, in Exodus 21, and I just wrote this down, it's not on your outline, but it says this in Exodus 21, if the servant declares, I love my master and my children and my wife, and I don't want to go free, then his master must take him before the judges, and he shall take him to the door of the doorpost and pierce his ear with an awl. And then he will be his servant for life. And so this was a voluntary position, a voluntary subjection to become a bondservant to a master.
A choice.
And so a bondservant was given freedom by the master, yet willingly chose to remain a servant to that person. And the Apostle Paul called himself, he said, I'm a bondservant or I'm a slave of Christ. This is Romans 1:1. Here's just one example of where he writes that in Scripture in the New Testament. Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. And so that word bondservant in the Greek is doulos, which literally means more like slave. But I think because the word slave carries, you know, it's a negative connotation just mm-hmm. to our modern sensitivities, if you will, and understanding. So we often just, they choose the word servant instead, a bond servant. But some of your translations that you're reading would say a bond slave. And Jesus taught, I mean, this is what we have to remember, that Jesus taught that the greatest people in his kingdom would be what? Servants of all.
Right.
And this concept really was repulsive and unthinkable to a Roman citizen in Jesus' day. Because they prided themselves on their freedom. They did, to be a slave would be repulsive, to stoop to identify yourself with that class of people mm-hmm. as a bondservant or slave would have been unthinkable. And yet, you fast forward to today, and this word slavery is found often anymore in the news, is it not?
Yeah.
Huge problem, but it's just more underground.
Right.
Sex trafficking all over the world, here in America.
Right.
Boys, girls, children, teenagers, young women sold into sexual slavery. It's happening now around us. It's underground, but it's happening. Work slaves in India.
Right.
You know, all over the world, really. Thailand, China. I mean, slavery in this context is obviously purely evil.
Come on.
Wickedness, because it's dominating somebody, obviously involuntarily against their will for the other person's advantage.
How about Washington, D.C.? Just recently in Washington, D.C., there was a march for life. Yeah. And there was a clash there. The clash was between, first of all, these white teenage high school boys, all Catholics, at Catholic school, and the radical black Hebrew Israelites. And they were being called white crackers and vulgar stuff and just saying, go back to Europe and you're incest. You know, it was just, just sickening. It's just, here it is, clashes.
Well, there were American Indians.
And then the American Indians, because the high school boys were doing a dance that they do at school, and the American Indians thought that was bad, and they were making fun of him, banging his tom-tom, and, you know, nobody wants to back down, and this guy is, you know, go back, we're not going, you know, everybody thinks somebody's dominating one another, and it comes back to, you mistreated my great, 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 great grandpa. No, I'm just born right now. I'm only 15 years old. You know, I didn't do any of it. But they're all clashing because they don't want to be dominated. Nobody. Yeah. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to blame you. I'm going to blame you. It's your fault that I'm this way. That's crazy stuff. Look. No one considered themselves a servant there.
And I don't think that the black Hebrew Israelites were there because they were pro-life.
No,
I don't think they were.
They were there to cause trouble. That's for sure. You know, just like what you said, nobody should be forced into slavery.
Yeah.
No one. Not one. It's a negative thing. It's horrible and wicked.
Yeah. So when you read Paul calling himself, I'm a bondservant of Christ, we have to understand that followers of Christ, we're coming under a whole different kind of master here.
Amen.
Right?
Come on.
I mean, a master who is good, loving, kind. He's the giver of our life.
Yeah.
He's not a destroyer.
Come on.
He's not going to dominate us for his advantage.
Right.
He's giving us life. And this is why Paul would willingly put himself under the master this way and say, I am your bondservant forever, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I still believe, I absolutely believe that we all still contend with this lower nature in our flesh.
Isn't it true?
That resists coming under someone else's lordship, the Lord himself even. I mean, maybe you are the victim of sexual abuse, and it would be hard. Subconsciously, there's something strongly on the inside that says, no, I will not submit to the lordship of somebody else and become a bondservant. I mean, we just tend to fight it. We're afraid of it. We're afraid of the vulnerability of it. What does it mean? Yeah. I'll be taken advantage of. No, you know, this is not right. And I think this is why being a bondservant to Christ and what he asks us in this word obedience to him becomes a stumbling stone for us. Obedience.
This is meaty.
Because we perceive the loss of our rights. When the Lord says, I want you to obey my commands, we're a culture of opinions. Well, wait a minute. I want to tell you how I feel about this, and I don't know. And you have to explain and make me. And the Lord's like, I want you to be obedient. Why do we resist it? So the command, and this is on our outline, for obedience in Scripture can become a stumbling stone for us.
Come on.
We're like walking along good, and the Lord goes, I want you to obey, and I want you to give some of your money over there to this person who needs it. And it's like that. You want to go, what are you asking me to do? It becomes a stumbling stone for us because this word obedience, especially in our culture today, I think grabs us. And if I hold on to that mindset, yeah, I'm a follower of Christ.
Yeah, come on.
But
come on.
I need you to explain it so that I can do it my way and how I want to do it in my timing and my understanding. You know, you're going to have to give up as a follower of Christ. If you're going to become a bond servant to the Lord, when the master speaks, I don't think any bond servant or a bond slave would go, wait a minute, I have my say in this too. Would they? No. That's not how a bond servant would even think.
Right, right.
And so if we want to be followers of Christ, we have to give this thought. We have to consider this. But I have to learn to obey my Lord.
Come on.
Sometimes whether I like it or not. And otherwise, if I say I'm a follower of Christ, yes, I am. I gave my life to him. And you don't want to live that way. You just throw out that word obedience.
Come
then
on.
You're going to have to just ask yourself, who am I following?
There you go.
Really. You're going
to
follow after Christ, you are going to have to give up some personal desires of your own.
Come
on. Your timing, your way, the way you want it.
Can I hear an amen?
You know, to give, to give, to help, to serve, to just lay down your life, to die to yourself, Scripture says, when you don't feel like it. Because I'm sure as a bond slave, none of us have grown up that way. We wouldn't even understand it. I mean, our kids have a hard time understanding obedience without, you know, a million explanations for why they need to do it, right? By then, you just... I mean, I think this is what drives parents up a wall because you try to make them understand. And obedience, just by the nature of the word obedience just says, yes, ma'am, I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
And doing it with a good attitude. And there's that submission, and there's that subserviency, and there's that trust that I'm becoming vulnerable to a good master. And if you're a good parent, it's true.
Amen.
That's what would happen.
Amen.
Ultimately, there'd be good fruit that would come for us.
That's
in
really
that.
True.
But if you don't do that, if you say you're a follower of Christ and you don't want to do that, you're developing your own concept of God, who he is to you.
Yeah,
and it's dangerous. Because it'll lead you down a crooked path, really.
Come on.
It'll be a crooked path.
It might look right at the beginning.
Yeah.
But, here, the point for us to consider today is really throughout the whole New Testament, these words were bond slave, bond servant, a servant. It's applied in a positive way. It's applied in a positive way to someone who is following Jesus. You know, Paul, Timothy, James, Peter, Jude, they all describe themselves as bond servants of Christ.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Jude was Jesus' half-brother. He didn't exploit that. Yeah, I'm a bond servant to my brother I grew up with, who was actually God. That would be wild.
Yeah, you could have used that for your advantage, right?
me and my brother Jesus
hanging out.
You're supposed to bring me that offering. Bring me some grapes. Bring me
but
a
Timothy,
sheep.
James, Peter, there were
all of those guys. They all submitted to Jesus, saying, "I'm a slave of Jesus. I choose. You got to choose." We'll go back to that. You got to choose. You may serve the devil, but you may serve the Lord, but you're going to serve somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is on our outline here. And look what it says here in 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. Again, these scriptures, if you take them in, will help change your life. Yeah. God is trying to transform our lives into what? Into the image of Christ. And what was Christ? What did he say? I am a servant.
He was the greatest servant of all.
What did he do to Last Supper? He did the lowest job, I mean the lowest job of the whole servant.
Yeah.
And he washed Judas's feet and knew Judas was going to betray him.
Yeah.
Think of that. True love for God means obeying his commandments, and his commandments don't weigh us down as heavy burdens.
Yeah.
If we get this, when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, hey, I want you to do this. You think right away, oh man, this is messing up my plans. Anybody? Anybody?
Yeah.
It's true. Yeah. But if you keep walking in the path with the Holy Spirit, doing what he's asked you to do, no matter what it is, no matter how far off it is. We started in the nursery at Victory. No matter what it is, there's going to be a blessing, and there's a test. It's a test. Hello? You're going to have to choose somebody. You're going to have to serve. Serve it. You follow him. Look at what we have here on the outline. The bondservant of Christ doesn't see obedience as a burden, but the path to life.
Yeah.
The path to life. There is blessing every time you obey the Lord. Your flesh will resist it, just like Pastor Mamie said before. We have that in us. We don't, I'm having my way. Sometimes we dig our feet in, don't we? And that's why a loving God that we serve will keep working on us. Sometimes when we don't do what he's asking and we push forward and do our own thing, he kind of backs off. Do you understand? He backs off because you have a free will. He'll let you go.
And he kind of waits. I've found that he waits until you get what it was he was trying to tell you.
Come on.
You know, and then it's like, then you go back to that step where you felt like, oh, that's where I...
Yep.
But anyways, the bondservant, we just said this, of Christ doesn't see obedience as a burden, but the path to life. It's a path to life. And I think, you know, we fight this whole idea of bondservant because of our flesh. Our flesh is, like you said, either resists it because we feel like, no, I don't want to come under anybody's...
Yes, there again.
...authority, the Lord's authority. And our flesh is always looking for our own way, like our own personal recognition, right? I mean, Jesus' 12 apostles, think about it. Right before he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, they're arguing about who's the greatest. And I, you know, we look at that and we think, I can't even believe they would do that, right? Right? Yeah, I know, right, yeah. But you and I would be the same way. I know we would.
Yep.
Don't be sitting there looking like, oh, not me. I would. I mean, just I look at Facebook and I think this is the perfect example. Facebook has that, you know, built right into it. The likes, the followers, Instagram. And there's just something in the flesh that's like goes back. I want to just see like how many people like that. And I want to know if that church had more likes than my church had dislikes. And did they like that? We compare all the time. Who's the greatest? Right? How many followers do you have? Oh, no, I don't do it. We all do it.
I don't even know how to get on there.
You know, but if you go back to Romans 1:1, we'll put it up here again just to refresh you. Paul, a bondservant.
There.
Look at how Paul identifies himself. Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus. He puts it first. Called as an apostle set apart for the gospel of God. So even though the Lord himself appeared to Paul, he writes 2/3 of the New Testament, gives him special revelations. He has visions of heaven. He said, I saw and heard things that are just, that no man should utter.
Right.
He was given a special anointing. He healed the sick. He saw deliverances. But he didn't promote himself, first of all, that way when he identified himself. He says, Paul, I'm a bondservant of Christ Jesus, like I'm a slave. He could have addressed his churches a different way,
mm-hmm.
right? Always subtly reminding everybody of Paul, specially called by God to be an apostle, given special revelations by the Holy Spirit to heal the sick, to cast out demons. I mean, he put it all in caps at the beginning. Just remember, I have some spiritual gifts here that. You know, it's interesting, though, that Paul writes about himself in Corinthians. He says, you know, sometimes we apostles feel like we're at the end, like we're the last people in a line. And everybody else is coming out before us, and we're looking like, who are you, Paul? Like, you're
they
the
actually
end of
said, who he are
did
you,
say,
Paul?
They did say that.
It's like, gee.
And Paul was certainly, look at, he was a leader in the church.
Yep.
Yet he understood. He understood that his first call as a leader was to know he was a bondservant, that he was given nothing. He had nothing except for what God gave him to
Amen.
Begin with.
Amen. So and how does
was,
that...
So his ahead. Identity, yeah, was just
yeah, how does that relate to us, though? You know, I mean, listen, we all come into this world lost. In truth, every single person is a slave to sin, slave to Satan. We're born.
Yeah.
You have to be born again. You have to be born again. And the Lord bought us with a high price, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. He paid for our freedom. Jesus.
Yeah.
We sang about him. His blood. He paid a price for us. 3 days in hell. Paying the price for you and me. And you know what the Bible says? He owns us.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, if you bought something that really cost you a lot of money, you have every right to say, that is mine. That's mine. It's mine.
I'm going to use it, yeah.
I'm using it for my purpose. Hello? I'm using it for my purpose. I'm using it for my purpose. Look what this says on your outline. Oh, my gosh. Here it is. You do not belong to yourself. What? What? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. You do not belong to yourself. For God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. Bringing glory to God is part of your purpose.
Yeah.
Your God-given purpose on this earth. Bringing God glory. That's your purpose.
Yeah.
That's my purpose. And it's salvation. Listen. It comes... And inside of you, it's salvation. You're born again in your spirit. And inside of you, you have the power of God. You have this desire to serve God.
Yeah.
And that is exactly the point.
Right. And even talking like this is meant to stir up and awaken that understanding. It's in there. I believe there's a bondservant anointing in you and in
Come
me
on.
If you're born again. to do this. And, you know, we wanted to say these things to set the stage better for understanding why giving God six and the motivation to do it. A bondservant, here's of Christ, is someone, this is on your outline, who has voluntarily set aside his or her personal rights in order to love, serve, and obey the will of God in Christ Jesus. You voluntarily do it. You voluntarily set aside your rights to do it. And I'm sure when you're born again, this whole bondservant thing, you don't understand it, do you? Did you? When you gave your life to Christ, were you thinking, I am now releasing all of my rights and I'm going to be completely guided by the Lord? Maybe some of you did. I don't think most of us did. I know I didn't.
Yeah, we didn't.
I mean, and there are many wonderful aspects to your role that you inherit in Christ. You know, we always talk about you're a child of God. Very true.
Amen.
We're chosen to be in God's family.
Ooh, hallelujah.
You're a beloved member. You're a new creation in Christ, we tell people. You have giftings in you to be used for God's glory. All wonderful things. We talk about we're a friend of God.
Hallelujah.
How awesome is that? These are all appealing and wonderful roles. It's like I've inherited, look at what I've inherited
yes.
in Christ.
But we can't forget the most important role of our identity. To become a bondservant. Amen?
Ooh.
A bondservant.
A slave?
A slave of Jesus Christ. You give up your rights all over. We renounce our rights. We give our rights to him. A bondservant actually knows who's king.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's king. And what does this bring? It brings one of the most important identities of Jesus Christ to us. Humility.
Humility, yeah.
Humility.
I mean, think about it. Because without a bondservant heart, in light of what we've been given, I could be even though I'm named a child of God, I could really be a brat of God, you know? Maybe just a brat. Forget the obedience, right? I'm going to do what I want to do.
Uh-huh, come on, girl.
I mean, this is why we have to teach our children obedience, right? And servanthood. I mean, without a bondservant heart, I'm a chosen member of God's family, but it can still be all about me.
Come on.
Just like the family member who sits on the couch all day long, you know, flicking through the channels. When's supper ready? I'm never wanting to get up and help and do something for the good of the family.
Come on, dig on
I mean,
that.
This is why we have to teach our kids that. Get in there. Help with chores. Get up. Help. Do something for the good of the family. Parents, you're doing your child a disservice when you let them take the easy way.
Better say that again.
You are doing your child a disservice.
It is true.
Because they're going to come back and want to just stay with you and keep doing it and keep doing it until they're 40 years old. It's like, please, would you go out and, you know, find a job, support yourself.
Come
but
on.
You're teaching them a bondservant heart.
Yeah, that's right.
When we do these things. I mean, without a bondservant heart, you know, I can take advantage of my friendship with God, just like we take advantages of friendships. Ignore him. Well, you made me mad. I'm not going to call you. I'm going to block you on Facebook. I'm going to, you know. Or, you know, the friend who just is never there around until they need something. And then they're just, oh, please help me. And they're just running for that reason. Then we often can be like that with God.
Mm.
Or just turn away. No, you're asking too much of me. I don't want to do that. So our identity as a child of God, as a chosen member of his family, as
right.
a friend of God. I'm a new creation. I have all these gifts. But none of them are going to work for God's glory without a bondservant heart. Because eventually we're going to do it for our own motivation.
Right.
You know, we're going to do it for our own significance and not God's significance.
You know, a bondservant's willing to do the lowest job, the mundane lowest job. You know, it might not be your preferred job. It might not be where you are even particularly gifted, but you see that there's a need, and you're willing to step in. This is a bondservant of Jesus Christ. This is a slave of Christ, and it's the pathway to life.
Yeah.
You know, you can't serve when it's just simply, I mean, convenient for you. You know what I'm saying? We sacrifice. We're slaves. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You're willing to step in to help. This is our calling, folks. This is our who we are. If you're born again, this is going right to you. We know this because God gave us this message. It's a servant heart.
Yeah.
It's absolutely a servant heart. And it's like, I'm willing to step in. I'm willing to step in.
We just went, and I think there are bondservant hearts in this church.
Amen, there are.
I'm looking at some right here in front of me. but we went to some friends of ours who are pastors who are transitioning from full-time, like lead pastors. They're transitioning, like retiring from that and moving on mm-hmm. into another phase of their ministry. And the person who's stepping in for them has been a part of the church. He was telling us 19 years who will become the lead pastor. And he was explaining to us last night, because we went up to Erie to just be a part of that little celebration. And he was telling us, I've been at the church for 19 years. And he said the first, how many years of his life, they came as a family.
Yep.
He worked, he graduated as an engineer, electrical engineer.
Worked for GE.
Yeah, worked for GE. And
for 10 years, he was working at the church, and he kept working up the corporate ladder.
Yeah, until he finally got what he said. I mean, he had 4 children. He now has 8 children. He's like, 8 children!
I told him he was crazy.
college. They have you beat. Yeah. Like, 8, oh my gosh, 5 is the most.
Hey, don't listen to this.
But he said at the time we had 4 children, and he said I was working, you know, trying to make enough money with my job, and he made good money as an electrical engineer, you can imagine.
Oh, man,
but he said, I'm driving, and he loved the church, and he was faithful at the church, you know, to volunteer and do things. But he said, I felt like the Lord said to me driving home one day, I want you to quit your job and go help Pastor Jim at the church, whether you get paid or not. He thought, you know, get behind me, Satan. It's like, and he's like, no. He said, I'm driving. No, no. He's like, can't be. Like, what? He said, I finally got to the place where I was going to get it. You know, I had the sweet spot in my career.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, quit my job, whether I get paid or not, and go do this. He said, I had to sell my house.
Yep.
He
obeyed this. He was a bondservant of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I mean, this is just an example of a person sold his house, went to live in a trailer with his 4 children, and lived like that for some time. I mean, now 9 years later, and I don't even know really when he got to be part-time on that staff, but we're talking 9 years later now, God stepping him into the position. That's 19 years. For what he was preparing him for.
Come on.
And we say all that to just give an indication of a bondservant heart. Because when you're driving home and you have your sweet spot in your job and your salary is where you want, and it's like, yeah. And the Lord says, I want you to give it all up and go serve somewhere where you're not even sure you're going to get paid. And just trust me.
We've done that twice.
That's obedience. That is obedience, my friend.
Amen.
But there are rewards in that. And sometimes I say that because they don't come in the timing that, you know, you're wanting, and even in the way you want it. But the Lord sees your obedience.
Come on.
And he is not forgetful, you know, to not see your labor of love for the sake of the saints, is that what Scripture says.
Yes. Oh,
my gosh. There are needs. There are needs right in front of us. There are needs sometimes where we look around, even in this church, and I think there are needs in the church. There are needs in the children's ministry where sometimes we're stretched thin. And I think Pastor
we
Ben,
had a, we
you
had
know, you're
an
example of a bondservant.
Yep.
He works full-time, past full-time hours, past 40
I'll
hours
I'll tell you
a week.
What, these three right here serve this church.
Even giving up a salary
right,
to do it.
Giving up a salary so we could get this building. Bond
and we don't
service.
Say that to...
We're not bragging.
I'm telling you... Put some feather in the cap. It's a matter of...
It's, right. This is in humility. This is who we are, guys. All of you. And this is who you are.
Why do you do it? Why do I do it? Because when I see life change happen in somebody, and the Lord says, it's all about life change. It's all about what happens now and for the sake of eternity. Because when you stand before the Lord, all of your sacrifices here in the earth, you will look like nothing compared to what you'll be rewarded with. And you'll be so happy that the Lord said, you know I stretched you far there to do what you didn't want to do, but you obeyed me. You were like a bondservant. You said, yes, Lord, I'll do it. I'll sacrifice. The Lord will reward you for that.
He will. Look at your outline here. It says, to be a bondservant, I must be willing to die to myself. Willing to die to myself. A bondservant. But every one of you already have been touched by the Spirit of God in this message. It's gone right through you.
So let's look at Galatians 2:20.
It's awesome. This is my, let me read it. Everybody say my.
My.
My old identity has been co-crucified with the Messiah and no longer lives. For the nails of his cross crucified me with him. And now the essence of his new life, of this new life, is no longer mine. For the anointed one lives his life through me. We live in union as one. My new life is empowered by faith in the Son of God who loves me so much that he gave himself for me and dispenses his life into mine.
Yeah.
That's a reality. You have to believe that. See, your salvation, you're bought with a price. We profess that we belong to Christ and that we're not our own.
Yeah.
That's what we say.
And this is where the word obedience comes in. You know, we are obedient to his commands to express his love. And that's part of our purpose here on the earth.
Come on.
This is why we backed up in presenting just going out, giving God six. We pray for life transformation in your lives. This is what it's all about. This isn't just come to church for something to do. We want to see life transformation, fruit in our lives to give God glory.
Mm-hmm.
But these are six basic actions that you could take to make that happen in your life, to understand God better, to experience his life better. But the truth is, giving God six isn't something that you should just casually ponder and go, well, I don't know. Let's see if I have time to do that. I'll look at this little piece of paper and,
come on.
And go, I don't know. Do I really want to do all those things?
I'm so busy.
Yeah. It is going to take a choice on every one of our parts to go, I'm going to choose righteousness. I'm going to choose the path where there's life change on it. I'm going to choose the path of obedience. And obedience doesn't often come at first with a warm, fuzzy feeling. Like, oh, I really feel like doing that. Does it?
Can I get an amen? Mean,
just raise a child and you will understand that, right? Your children often resist obedience at first. But yet you still expect obedience, right?
Come on.
And it's after the obedience, the willing obedience, that's the warm fuzzy comes in everybody's heart.
Yes.
And even the good fruit in their life, right?
That's good preaching right there.
I mean, look at this, Hebrews 12, as we begin to close out. Hebrews 12:10 says this, but God corrects us throughout our lives for our own good, giving us an invitation to share his holiness. See, the correction and the discipline of the Lord is for a purpose to help us become like him. Now, verse 11, all discipline seems to be more pain than pleasure at the time. Yet later it will produce a transformation of character, bringing a harvest of righteousness and peace to those who yield to it. And so our prayer, as we've been going, as we pray on Tuesdays, as we pray on Wednesdays, and I would invite you to set apart time to come to one of those prayer meetings. You'll be blessed. Our prayer is that you would obey and give God six. Take a look at this. I don't know if we have any more of these left outside at our connection counter there. But our prayer is that you would do it out of obedience to the Lord. and walk in the harvest of righteousness that God's purposed for you and planned for you.
You know, and so let's bow our heads here. As servants of Christ, you know, we consider our lives here on earth just a brief time of preparation for eternity.
Yeah.
And the real question we want to present to you today, do you know your eternal destination? If you were to die today, if you were to die right now in this building, do you know where you'd go? Do you really know where you'd go? Where would you spend eternity?